Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Mozart was known for his melodies, and each melody was distinct. This Saturday, inside the Washington Pavilion in downtown Sioux Falls, the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra performs The Genius of Mozart. Delta David Geyer is music director and conductor for the Symphony Orchestra, and he joins us now. Maestro Geyer, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, oh, it's good to be here. I wish I could see you, Lori. Miss our time together.
I know. It is a difficult and a tangible thing to experience separation long-term, especially. But there are ways to come and see a little music safely and at a distance inside the really, you know, expansive Great Hall at the Washington Pavilion with some distance seating and such. Let's talk about the program and the power of Mozart, the recognition. You know, most people recognize a little Mozart here and there. Tell us about this performance.
Well, this is an outgrowth of a program that we did a couple of years ago where we played the last three symphonies of Mozart on the same program, and it was a delight for the audience, but it was also a delight for the players. And so the players actually came to me and said, can we do that again, please? And so we're backing up and doing, you know, the fourth, fifth, and sixth latest ones of Mozart, right butting right up against those last three. And so it's a joy to listen to, but it's also a joy to play, and it's also kind of calisthenics for the orchestra because, you know, this is our bread and butter repertoire, and Mozart is so perfectly composed that even in an ensemble of 40 to 60 players, if one person is out of sync, everybody knows it. So it's really great for us to play this stuff together. It's really good orchestra building kind of activity. Yeah.
And from the flip side, if everyone is in sync, everyone knows it. Like, you have to have that. Yeah. Like, you get it. Like, we're doing this. Yeah.
Well, you know, with Mozart, like all great arts, there's an inevitability about the art that it's so well composed and crafted and inspired that it really couldn't be done any other way. And Mozart's music is perhaps the best example of this, because you have this sense of not just the melodies, the harmonies, of course, but the form of the piece, the proportions in the piece, that, you know, these are things that most people are not aware of. But the reason that we have such a sense of satisfaction of listening to Mozart and playing Mozart is because of this balance. And I have to say, in the midst of a pandemic, in the wake of election like we just had, like, a little balance in your life is a very good thing. It's not just comforting. It also gives us a sense of possibility, of, you know, of things being better. And this was what Mozart was all about, actually.
And maybe for whatever reason, the image of, like, a nautilus came to mind, where, you know, you look at it and you see one thing, and then as you study sort of the mathematical perfection of it and the intricacies of it, you just stand in wonder at what exactly is happening. Most of us have no idea how it's happening, right? But the more you know, the more is revealed.
Yeah, you go deeper and deeper into it. You know, there's been analogies made between Mozart and Shakespeare, in that, you know, there's particularly Mozart's operas. There's this story that is taking place, and it may seem kind of silly, maybe a comedy or whatever it is, but underneath that top layer are many, many layers. And it has to do, yes, with the craft and that inevitability of great art and all of that, but it also, on a philosophical and a spiritual level, it reaches down to our deepest points of humanity. And we talked about this many, many times, and I just reiterated in a rehearsal last night that all of Mozart is opera. everything he wrote is opera. Every piano sonata, every concerto, every symphony is opera. You can tie, like, the Prague Symphony that we were rehearsing last night is in the key of D, and so is Don Giovanni. You know, and there are moments in there when it's in D minor, and it's like Don Giovanni getting dragged to hell at the end of the opera. It's dramatic. And Mozart is incredibly consistent with the keys he chooses, and the dramatic situations that he composes are consistent between operas and piano sonatas and whatever else. And it's kind of the key to interpreting Mozart is knowing his operas. As a listener, you don't have to know that to enjoy it, because basically a symphony is a story told through music. Whether you're aware that you're even listening to a story, there's a sense of, again, the proportion, the completion of a story, the beginning, middle, and end, a resolution that we come to at the end of the movement. It is so incredibly satisfying to hear.
Do you... How do you start hearing that story? Frequency, openness, knowledge?
It's about listening carefully, Lori.
Okay.
Most of the time, we go through our lives and music is like wallpaper. You know, it's so ubiquitous. Of course, in Mozart's day, there were no recordings. Music was not trying to sell anything. It wasn't even trying to sell itself. So, you know, if you went to hear music, you were doing it intentionally. And it was a special thing. And you listened to it carefully. And that's the way this music is intended to be heard, is carefully. And when you start to hear it this way, and that's why we do it in a concert hall, where everybody's sitting quietly and simply listening to the music. And we're moved on a corporate level. You know, we experience it on a corporate level, but it takes that kind of concentration, and it's some of the most special moments in the concert hall with a South Dakota Symphony performance are those moments of silence when you could hear a pin drop and you can sense that everybody is sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for what's coming next, because the composer is telling the story in such a compelling way that you're in it. You're in the moment. You're in that in the moment, so to speak. you're participating in this communal activity that of listening to music.
Yeah, you mentioned Shakespeare, and I was listening to a performance via Zoom of a Sophocles play, and I've, for some reason, Sophocles has been coming up in the world in 2020, and maybe I'm just noticing it, and it was always there, but Frances McDormand and Theatre of War were performing, and she just started performing, and I felt like my skin had been turned inside out all of a sudden with Frances McDormand there on the screen, and it occurred to me, as you were just talking about being in the Great Hall, that often... that emotional, I mean, what stood out about it is that she was able to do that with her performance via Zoom. Mm. Like, I mean, I would not have been surprised if that had happened to me in the theater with Frances McDormand, right? But I was shocked that she had the capability as a performer to impact me so emotionally through the work of Sophocles via Zoom. And so Sophocles, Shakespeare, Mozart, great performers like Frances, great performers like the musicians of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra and others, they're tapped into something that is profound, and they invite you into that space. I just find that's not even a question, David. That's just an observation of the miracle that is this that I miss so dearly.
Mm. Well, we're kind of ephemeral, us performing artists. It's not about us. It's really about the composer, the playwright. You're talking about Sophocles, Shakespeare. I mean, Frances McDormand is able to bring this to life because she's been given a gift of this, of these words and this dramatic situation, the direction. And she has, you know, her own gifts that she brings to the party. and she's able to bring it to life in such a way. And we do the same thing. I mean, we're recreators. We're not creators. We're recreators. And Mozart is the genius. He's the immortal one. We're not immortal. We're going to be gone. Hmm. And it's our responsibility to steward this great gift onto the next generation. My job as a conductor, music director of a South Dakota Symphony, is to take it from the point where I found it in 2004 and to whatever point where I leave it, hopefully better, hopefully, you know, richer, hopefully more meaningful and impactful to our community. And then the next person will take it and shepherd it on to the future. That's the best way for us to view what we do, to keep it in perspective. You know, we're not pop performers. We're not just there to glorify ourselves. As a matter of fact, and I think that Francis would agree with this, that if you take those words, that music, and use it to self-promote, it's a very distasteful thing in our community. Yeah. Like, I remember there's a wonderful violinist named Nigel Kennedy, a Brit, who came on the scene in the 80s. And he was, you know, maybe the first one to, like, you know, punk up his hair and, you know, weird colors and all of that. And the community basically said, oh, no, you don't do that. like mm-hmm. You're making it about yourself. You're playing Beethoven's music and you're making it about yourself. That's just right out. Just stop now. You know, that was the sense that we had as a classical music community.
Yeah. Do you think, this is a weird question, of course, but do you think that Mozart would be pleased with this notion of people being able to go see so much of his work, you know, as often, you know, to have access to it? Would he be pleased not just that his music is still being performed, but that people have access to it as its full arc, you know, in a narrative with its, in conversation with itself? Do you think that would have mattered to him?
Yes, absolutely. It mattered to him in his day, in his very short 36 years of life.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was very important to him. So I'm not that he was looking for superstardom or anything. He had something very important to say, and I think he's really glad that people are listening to that.
Yeah. How can people access tonight? Tell us a little bit about tickets available. There's all kinds of opportunities, if you've never been to the symphony, to come in a really affordable and accessible way. Let's invite people into that world a little bit here before we let you go.
Well, yes, so we have to ask ourselves repeatedly, you know, are we being responsible about holding live concerts? You know, so the protocols are quite strict. You know, we've gone from over the summer saying, well, you know, how are we going to do this, masking, not masking, and so on and so forth. So masks are mandatory. Then we did social distancing by request last month for our Bach concert, and now people are being reseated in the hall. We also opened up the dress rehearsal, so people can come at 1 o'clock. You know, $15 a ticket, I think it is. And again, more space, hopefully more comfort for people to be able to experience it. But we're, you know, we're doing absolutely everything that we can, far beyond, you know, whatever state and city mandates and whatever the Washington Pavilion normally requires. We've really done our due diligence. I mean, every rehearsal, everybody's getting their temperature checked. We're seated. Nobody's sharing music stands on the stage. We're all 6 feet apart, which makes it really hard to play music together. But, you know, but we're doing it. We're doing it.
Here we are. Yeah. The music goes on in really challenging times, and it's worth making that happen. The performance is The Genius of Mozart with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. Maestro Delta David Geyer has been my guest. Always a delight to talk to you. Cannot wait to see you in person.
Yeah, likewise, Lori. Thank you.